Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Media Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
And we have come to some startling conclusions.
Scary.
I mean, I think Paul Merkey was involved in this in this research. He was not.
No.
Oh.
No.
Marge Inovera?
No.
Well,
Matt McCult.
Actually, the report here is signed by someone named Murray Alex, and curiously, he sent it to us by email. So I guess it doesn't work in the office.
No.
Or in the lab. But here it is. Things you would never know if there weren't movies. Now, this is interesting.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
For example,
I mean, some of them are quite obvious. I mean, you would never know this. The ventilation system of any building is the perfect hiding place. No one will ever think of looking for you in there, and you can travel to any other part of the building, and nobody will hear you.
That's right.
You're very likely to survive any battle in any war, unless you make the crucial mistake of showing someone a picture of your sweetheart back home.
There you go.
You do that, kiss of death. Boom.
Right. Bullet right through your head.
Next minute. Now, here's one. The Eiffel Tower can be seen from any window in Paris. Did you know that? Anywhere you are in Paris, you can see the Eiffel Tower.
Well, you know why? Because it's not stationary. It moves.
Let's see what else here. I like this one. If you're being chased through town, you can always take cover in a passing St. Patrick's Day parade any time of the year. And my personal favorite, should you wish to pass yourself off as a German officer, it will not be necessary to speak the language. A German accent will suffice. I will tell you what is... I mean, how many... Frank Sinatra did that.
As Lee Marvin so aptly demonstrated in the Dirty Dozen.
That's right. Well, see, now, I didn't know that. I thought you actually had to speak the language.
No.
They can recognize your German accent, huh?
Right. You need to utter a few German phrases like Das Lied von der Erde or something like that. If you know that, then you're all set.
Yeah, you throw that out and then you're all set.
Achtung. If you'd like to call us about your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jay. I'm calling from Gulfport, Mississippi.
Huh?
Gulfport.
Yes,
Gulfport,
sir.
Yes.
That is a port on the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And that's a perfect name for it.
It was very creative, don't you think?
Yeah,
it was.
So what's up, Jay?
I purchased a 1985 BMW 528E from a friend of mine who's in desperate trouble. I only paid $750 for it.
Oh, ooh. Yeah?
It's in a... body's great. Needs a paint job.
Yeah.
Okay. What I really want to know, the speedometer cluster's broken.
Mm-hmm.
I go down the highway, and, you know, I time myself between mile markers with a stopwatch. I was wondering, would it be accurate using the tach, you know?
No.
Yeah.
It would not be.
Pretty close.
Well, depends. I mean,
I could extrapolate, say, I know
you
60
mean
miles an hour is a certain number of RPM.
Oh, no,
you
that's
know
okay.
That if it takes you 1 minute to get between mile markers... And
then
the
I'm going 60 miles an hour. I understand that.
Right, you're going 60 miles an hour. And at that time, the tachometer is reading 3,200. Then 3,200 is 60 miles an hour in high gear.
Well, on this car,
it's 2,500
is about 95.
Well, whatever. I'm just giving an example.
What? 2,500 RPM in high gear is 95 miles an hour? Absolutely not.
Yes, it is.
No, your tachometer's broken.
Tachometer's broken, too.
Tach's broken, too.
Yeah,
huh?
So now we're in real trouble.
Uh-oh.
Now you gotta go for the rock and the rope. Yeah, no, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, the way this car is geared is kind of strange.
Oh,
I've got
not
a shop manual, but the owner's manual. And it's geared differently than the one with than the testosterone version.
It doesn't matter how it's geared. There's no way in the world that 2,500 RPM is 95 miles an hour for anything.
No, as a matter of fact, 2,500 RPM is not even 60 miles an hour in this car.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so something's wrong with that, too. When you said the odometer and the speedometer are both broken?
No, the odometer and speedometer are both broken. Yeah.
And now you know the tack is also broken.
Now I know the tack is also broken.
Yeah. That's okay, too bad. On the other hand, wait a minute, we can still help you here.
Why don't you replace the speedo cable? Maybe that's what's broken.
The speedo cable?
Yeah, there's a cable that runs the speedometer and the odometer.
Right.
And that may be just broken.
I mean, that would be relatively easy to replace and relatively inexpensive to replace, but we could make it more complicated if you'd like.
That's not necessary.
See, I was going to suggest that if you could borrow a tachometer from someone.
Okay.
Then you could hook up the good tachometer and...
Well, that won't help him unless he can get... Oh, and calibrate his?
Calibrate your tachometer.
No, if your tachometer is off this much, you could never rely on it to be accurate. It might have degrees of inaccuracy.
Yeah.
Some days it may be closer to being wrong right than other days.
Yeah.
So your tachometer is no good.
Yeah.
Gee whiz, guys. Gee whiz.
So you, sorry,
but
Jay.
You bought the car for cheap.
Yes, I got it very, very cheap.
You stole it practically.
Great. It runs great. I love it.
That's good.
It does run great, I'm sure. And why are you unwilling to spend a few bucks to get it fixed? I mean, you could take it someplace.
Well, I was going to have it painted first.
Sure, that's more important.
important
than knowing how fast you're going.
Speeding tickets in it too.
Yeah, I mean, you can always play it safe by staying within the flow of traffic, which is okay on the interstate. On the other hand, you might find yourself, because this car is so quiet, zooming through residential areas at speeds well above the speed limit. So it would be nice to have a speedometer.
You wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know. You could be going. Yeah. There are so many cars that I've driven on city streets, because we get to drive a lot of different cars that are very quiet and luxurious. You can easily be driving at 45 miles an hour on a quiet residential street
and not know it,
and not even realize it. And other cars, you're driving 20 miles an hour and you think the world's going to come to an end.
But see, that's because you refuse to adopt my strategy of never, if you're in a residential neighborhood, you should never get out of second gear. And in second gear, you'll know when you're speeding, because as quiet as this 528 is, it'll be screaming at you if you're trying to do 40 in second gear.
Well, that's all well and good if you have a second gear.
Well, this is automatic.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could shift into second, but you need to get it fixed, Jay.
Okay. Thanks,
Jay,
guys.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's my pleasure.
See you, Jay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Why is Southerners, I mean, why are they so friendly and nice? I mean, you'd almost think that there's never any crime down south, and that everyone is a perfect gentleman, every woman is a perfect lady, and is it only because we have this warped northern impression and perception of this? Or is it just me?
It's just you.
I mean, I hear a southern accent like Jay, and I want to have coffee with this guy. I can see us sitting out there in the bayou. Is there a bayou down there?
Gators nipping at your knees.
He just seems like the kind of guy, even though he robbed his best friend of this car for $750.
He's the kind of guy you want to know, right? Find out how he did it. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, Tom and Ray. This is Ann in Dallas, Texas.
Hi, Ann.
How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Well,
good.
I was going down the highway getting ready to go fishing in East Texas, and I heard your program, and you solved a marital conflict.
Oh. You were going fishing?
Going fishing, yes.
You know, that's great. I don't know any women who fish. I take that back. I know one.
Well, now you know two.
Yeah. And from Dallas.
Yes. And I bet you know a lot of women who fish.
Well, no. See, I'm married to a fisherman, and I have three boys, so unless I want to see my family, I have to be real outdoorsy.
Yeah.
I didn't say I caught fish, but I go fishing.
Oh, yeah. I don't catch any either. Does your husband have one of those bumper stickers that says, my wife says if I don't stop fishing, she's going to leave me. Gee, I'm going to miss her.
No, but he put a bumper sticker on my car that said, don't mess with Texas women.
Oh.
Well, we know that's true.
We knew that anyway.
So anyway, you were going fishing.
Going fishing, and I heard this, it was either a woman or a man call in, and they'd been having a kind of a dispute about a problem, and I thought maybe you could help me.
Okay.
All right. My father told me that when I got in the car, I should make sure that everything is turned off before I start the car because it's bad for the battery. So when my husband gets in the car, the air conditioning is on, going full blast, the radio's on, and if he could turn the lights on, I'm sure he'd have those on too. And he claims that batteries are so strong that there is not a problem, and that he's not running down the battery. So I just thought I'd let y'all decide this issue for us.
Well, we put together a bunch of phone calls from people about their fathers, and we entitled the CD that we put them on, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. And this is one of those.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Now, you see, well, on the other hand, your kids should not be listening to their father either. Even though he's correct, his explanation is wrong. Because while indeed batteries may be stronger, there are greater demands on batteries, and that's the reason they made them stronger than they were in your father's day. But what really happens when you turn the key all the way to the crank position, that is the final position of the key that enables the engine to start,
yes,
it shuts off everything.
So if you have the air conditioner turned on,
it shuts off.
It doesn't come on.
If the wipers are on, they shut off. In most cars, or many cars now, if the lights are on, they will get shut off too while you're in that mode where the engine's going, and as soon as it starts and you release the key, then all of those things can come back on again.
You know, that's amazing, but that's really proving my point. The car knows that it's bad for
it. The car knows. You're absolutely right. And if he doesn't believe you, tell him to turn on the air conditioner, and while you turn the key to the crank position, tell him to hold his hand out over the one of the outlets of the air conditioner.
No, the vent.
And he won't feel anything coming out until you let go of the key.
Well, that is amazing.
Isn't it, though?
Well, the car figured it out all by itself.
I didn't. Did, but secretly, I know it was just proving my point.
Yeah, well, you knew you were right. As we know, don't mess with Texas women.
And neither one of the men in your life knows what he's talking about, but that's okay, too.
Yeah, I mean, he can't afford to lose me. So he keeps me real happy.
Well, you sound like a lot of funny, and I'd keep you happy, too. Tell him he's got a good thing. See you later.
Okay, thanks, Thomas.
Happy fishing.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Jeff from Washington, D.C. How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing? Are you a lawyer or a politician?
No, neither, fortunately.
Good. We'll
Are you aspiring to be either
architect.
Of those?
Architect. Oh,
just as
architect
bad.
Is good, you know? No, an architect is a noble profession.
You think so?
You're dealing with aesthetics and utility, and you're not really hurting anybody unless you make a balcony that falls off. But stuff like that happens.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But it's a nice profession. It's clean. You don't have to get dirty. You deal with paper.
Yeah, well, you have to go to the job site once in a while and wear the hard hat.
Oh, yeah, you just make it look good.
You wear
the hard hat.
You get your shoes muddy.
You get
a
your
lot.
Shoes muddy and make it look so you can tell your wife you weren't working that day.
I was on the site today.
On the site. Yeah, mm-hmm. How would you find out? I don't know. They have good coffee.
The coffee truck comes at 10:30.
And you make less money.
And you have to eat off the coffee truck, even though you know your stomach can't take it.
Because you got to be one of the guys.
You got to be one of the guys, yeah.
That, I guess that's the big problem with being an architect. You ain't one of the guys.
Yeah, you break out a brioche and an espresso, and they're going to lay a beating on you. All right, Jeff, what the heck do you want, man?
All right, I've got it.
Oh, your time's almost up.
Yeah, what's up?
I've got an 89 Accord LXI, about 145,000 miles on it. And for the last couple of years, I've had a problem, very sporadic problem, where the throttle sticks.
Ah.
Not a good problem to have.
You know for sure the throttle is sticking, or is it just racing?
It's just racing. No, I don't know it's the throttle that's sticking. So I took it to the dealer, and they said, well, it's one of two things.
Yeah.
It's either that we need to replace the throttle cable for $500, or you need a new computer module for $500. And we don't know which one.
Did they say which one
did
you
they
want?
Have a did they have a two for a deal? Like two
yeah,
for $750?
Two for $2,000. Yeah.
They wouldn't. It's not the throttle cable they wanted to replace for $500. I think rather it's the throttle body.
Okay.
That is the actual part of the car that bolts to the intake manifold that is actuated by the throttle cable, because the throttle cable's cheap. Mm. The part's probably $40.
Uh huh.
And it's certainly no $460 to install.
Yeah, the throttle body is sort of part of what would have been the throat of the carburetor.
Right.
It's the flap that gets moved as you step on the gas pedal, so that when your foot is off the gas pedal, the flap is essentially closed, and then as you step on the gas, that gradually opens to allow more air to enter the engine. And it could be that that is sticking.
Right.
And you've obviously tried punching the gas pedal or pulling it back with your hand to get it to stop?
I punch it, and it stops every time. I put in the clutch and punch the throttle, and it stops.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, and they knew that, and they still wanted to study the computer?
Yep.
Those sly little devils.
Now, I took it to an independent shop, and they told me that they said throttle cable. They said they needed to lubricate the throttle cable.
No.
So they did that for $30. It had no effect.
No, throttle cables don't get lubricated.
Okay.
No. Because the lubrication just attracts dirt and makes them even more likely to stick.
Okay.
I would go ahead and replace the cable first off, but at the same time, you might want to ask them to clean the throttle body.
Okay.
And make sure they get all the carbon and varnish buildup out of the throttle area, and that might help too.
Okay.
But it's one of those two things. I doubt it's the computer. If you can fix it by punching the pedal, it's a mechanical thing and not an electrical.
Yeah, and don't go back to the place that wanted maybe to sell you the computer.
Fantastic.
See you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, look, I'm going to try a little telepathic experiment here. I'm going to think of last week's puzzler, and I'm going to send it to you by ESP.
Terrific. I'm ready. I mean, what do I have to do?
Just clear out your mind completely.
Huh?
Never mind. You're obviously pre-cleared. We'll be back in a minute.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our scholarship program that sends mechanics to study abroad. We call it the Half Bright. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Rock Auto, since 1999, serving auto parts customers online, shipping everything from one wiper blade to a new bumper. More at rockauto.com. And
the Poetry Foundation,
publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture.
PoetryFoundation.org.
And Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com.
And even though Einstein says so, maybe God does play dice with the universe when he hears us say it. This is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone America's Trust Fund, with a reminder to check tire pressure every month. Underinflated tires can increase gas consumption and decrease tire life. Information is online at tiresafety.com.
On Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia, we sing clues about famous people with the initials MB.
Hey, I'm from New York, was on the OC. I'm in the tabloids, just look for MB.
Peter, I don't think Mike Bloomberg was on OC. But...
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on Ask Me Another. Game on.
Ask Me Another, every Saturday morning at 10.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. This is an algebraic puzzler for the vacationing school kids with atrophying brains. Did you think?
Berman
spent 2 weeks on it.
I don't really care. I ain't watching TV. What do I care about atrophy? Huh?
Recently, after we finished one of our Car Talk shows, we and our staff decided to go out for a little, you know, snack. So the whole gang goes to the Tomaine Deli down the street, and we order a bunch of food and whatever. And as luck would have it, just before the bill comes, my brother and I excuse ourselves and we go to the bathroom and climb out the window.
I mean, what else would you do when the bill was going to come?
It's interesting that I met you there. We hadn't planned it in advance. Anyway, the bill comes and it's $63. Everyone figures after a while that we ain't coming back. So Bugsy says, oh, those guys, they stiffed us. But look, if everyone throws in an extra $2, we'll cover the bill. So the question, very simply, was, how many people were in the original group and show your work? Right?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't take too much. The only two numbers I know that make 63 when multiplied together are 9 and 7.
So that must be the answer. Yeah. So you can work backwards and write the equation.
So we're going to write two equations. We're going
to
write...
We have to write
if X equals the number of people.
Yeah, let me write these down. Go ahead. X is the number of people.
And Y equals the amount paid. So X times Y equals 63, the original number of people.
Ah. So if we hadn't sneaked out the window, then
X times Y
would have been
enough, and you wouldn't have been able to figure it out.
Got it. So X times Y is 63. That's good.
Right.
We can solve that.
So then, but you also know that if you add 2 to the number of people, so X plus 2
yeah.
times, in parentheses, Y minus 2, which is the number of people that we're short,
yeah,
is going to equal 63 also.
Oh, how sweet it is. Oh, so you just go multiply stuff together.
Well, you multiply it all out, and what you get is you get a long expression with a... And what you end up doing is you substitute. You get rid of the Y, and you substitute the 63 over X for Y. And when you do that, you wind up with something called a quadratic equation. Is that right?
Of course. Everyone knows. And all you got to do is give them those two equations. And any kid will figure this out in 5 minutes. Just give them those two equations. X plus 2 times Y minus 2 is 63. And X times Y is 63. Solve that. You can't do that. You're out. That's it.
But you finally wind up with X squared minus 2X minus 63 equals 0.
Oh, yeah.
And when you factor that, it comes out to X plus 7 times X minus 9, right?
Yeah, I see it.
Right?
Yes, that's correct. I see it.
And so one answer is X equals 9. And the other one is X equals minus 7.
That's how many people there were originally. Minus 7. No one showed up. And
well, in the antimatter universe, the minus 7 answer
would be
is valid.
Yeah.
But otherwise, there were 9 people in the original group.
Right, and we left.
And we left, and we stiffed them, so they had to come up with $2 a piece.
Yeah.
If you think you have any questions about that, write to my brother. Who won?
So each of the 7 people pays $9.
Right, whereas each of the 9 people would have paid...
$7.
$7.
Oh, man.
Right, and if you hadn't climbed out the window with me, they never would have figured it out.
The winner is Tucker Metzik from Lombard, Illinois. And Tucker, for having your answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got, you will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division of our website. And you can get like a Best of Car Talk CD, which is guaranteed to bore your kids to sleep on those long summer road trips. You just stick this in the little CD player, and when all those kids are going, yeah, 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 right to sleep.
Well,
knock them right out.
Well, we will not be having a new puzzler in the third half of the show, but we will give you information, news, data on how you can get your puzzler fixed for the next few weeks. You know, so in the meantime, if you want to call us about something else.
For how long is the vacation of the puzzler?
It's being negotiated. That's all I can say. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, it's Chris. I'm calling from right across the water in Boston. How are you?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris. What's happening, man?
What's up?
My car seems to have seasonal allergies.
Ah.
Yeah, when we had a couple of months ago the wild fluctuations in temperature, and then a couple of weeks ago when we had those torrential rains.
Yeah.
It seems like the day after the car, hours after the temperature has changed, it won't start. I get a click and a click and a click and a click, and then it's each time I turn the key, and then eventually it'll kind of cough and sputter, and then it'll click again. And sometimes it takes 5 cranks, sometimes it takes 30 cranks.
Right, and it's a Toyota, right?
No, actually, it's not. It's a 93 Dodge Dynasty.
Dodge Dynasty.
Really?
Dynasty is exactly right.
So let me get this right. This doesn't happen when the weather is fine?
If the weather's consistent, like all winter long, it started up like a charm.
Yeah.
And then if the weather's consistently warm, like it has been the couple of days, starts up just fine. But if there's any kind of, like, I'm worried it's supposed to get kind of cold and then kind of warm and kind of cold again over the next couple of days, you know, overnight, that it may happen again.
And automatic transmission.
You do
right?
Hear a click.
Yes, it's an audible click, and then sometimes it's kind of a cough and sputter.
A click and a cough and sputter.
Well, it can't cough and sputter unless it cranks.
It's just kind of a, it's like it's trying to turn over, but it's just not making it over that hill.
Mm.
And when it does that, does it go, or does it go,
it just kind of goes, and just stops. Maybe there's no sputter. Maybe it's just a cough.
Maybe it's a fart.
I knew this was going to degenerate very quickly.
It could very well be a fart. It was my father's car. So.
All right, it's a cough without a sputter, or vice versa.
Gee, yeah. You know, I mean, my original feeling was
that
your starter was gone, and that's why I thought you might have a Toyota, because Toyotas are famous for this. Except the cough and the sputter adds a new dimension to it, which tells me that. Obviously, it isn't a Toyota. You told us that already. And the fact that it's cranking a little bit, which caused a little bit of turnover and then a backfire through the intake manifold, tells me that I'm going to take a bold step and suggest it's the battery.
You think?
I mean, we both said it simultaneously.
We said it simultaneously. And it's got to be right. I mean, that never happens. We haven't agreed with each other in 1971.
Yeah,
I'm glad I bridged that gap.
I think it's the battery, too.
I mean, if you're lucky, it could be a bad connection at the battery. You know where those two cables connect to the battery?
Right.
If either one of them is corroded, it'll do exactly the same thing. It may crank and then do nothing. And then if you keep trying it, or instead if you hold the key to the crank position for several seconds, it may just fire right up.
Okay, yeah, I'm scared to do that. I don't want to blow anything
you
up.
You won't blow anything up.
Well, you might blow
you
something up.
You might set the car on fire, but you won't blow
right,
anything up.
There'll be no explosion.
That qualifies as blowing things up to me. So.
I mean, whether it's a bad connection, I played with the bad connection for a while myself, and I think it still may be a bad connection. The difference is that we don't know exactly what it sounds like when it actually does the cough slash and slash or sputter.
Right.
But in your vast experience driving cars, would you say that when it finally does start, is that preceded by it cranking slowly or cranking at the usual speed?
It seems like it'll just catch, like it'll just fire right up.
And it just fires right up.
Then
I'd have to go with a bad connection then.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'd stick with the battery myself.
And the weather would affect that?
No, the weather wouldn't affect any of it.
No, it might.
No. Okay.
Warm weather would tend to make it easier to start the car.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the weather thing is a complete red herring as far as I'm concerned, and you just threw that in to make us crazy, and we don't hold it against you.
Good luck.
Because we're crazy anyway.
Thanks, guys.
See you, Chris.
All right, bye.
Hey, I have an interesting letter, actually. May I read it to you?
Well,
you know, people often call us or write to us and say, boy, how can you guys figure out what's wrong with cars by someone talking to you on the phone?
We usually can't, actually.
And the truth is, we usually can't.
Right.
But get this.
Occasionally, we luck out.
Get this. Ed O'Neill sends us an email. Dear Click and Clack, I frequently travel to Albany, New York on business. On one of my recent trips, I was listening to a local radio station. One of the guests, and I think his name was John McLaughlin, demonstrated an amazing ability that I think will be of interest to both you and your listeners. This man has the ability to, get this, to identify the make, model, and year of any automobile by hearing the sound of the horn.
Sure.
Listeners of the program were invited to call in, honk the horn over the phone, And this guy would tell them the make, model, year, and sometimes the color. And sometimes the color of their car. Out of a dozen or so callers, he identified the make and model on every single one and missed a year only twice. And even then, he was within 2 years of being correct.
Wow.
Now,
I never knew that horns had such a signature, so to speak.
I mean, I, at one time, was able to, I think, I could have identified most cars by the sound of the starter.
Yes.
But the horn?
Junk boxes that you own to the crank for 20 seconds.
The horn?
The horn. Well, some people have better ears than others.
Wow.
Wow.
I suppose if the guy had... possible.
Well, we have to see if we can get
If anyone knows who this guy really is...
We need his help.
And I especially like how we could tell the color.
The color. That's I'm most interested in that.
I am too.
Now, I want everyone to realize that my brother does very little between naps, so he's always happy to read some mail. And if you have anything interesting, even if it isn't that interesting... He'll find it interesting.
I will, yeah.
Just stamp it and send it to him. And the address is Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, attention Tommy. Or if the stamp machine's not convenient to your cubicle, you can obviously email us from cartalk.com. And if you want to talk to us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's, what is that, 888-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Say, this is a tough one. This is a K, Catherine.
You're right.
Wow, that was right on the borderline.
Nordic ancestry.
Well, that's good, Tommy. You're good. You're good.
St. Paul.
Yep.
Do you know my friend Les Block?
Oh, God. Anyway, Catherine, how can we help you today?
Okay, I hate my car.
Okay.
It's a 91 Plymouth Acclaim.
Sorry, I hate my brother, but I'm sticking with him.
Well, I just got a new job, and after years of being a grad student, I was really looking forward to getting a new car, but now I don't know if it's such a good idea. And here's why.
Yeah.
On my second day of work a couple of weeks ago, I was pulling into the parking lot when I noticed that the car ahead of me wasn't moving, so I stepped on the brakes, but no brakes. I slam into the other car, I jump out, and I'm thinking, gee, that guy looks familiar. And then I realized why.
He's your boss.
President. Well, no, he's my boss.
Oh, even worse, the president of the company.
Yeah.
All right.
Do I get a new car or not? Because if I'm axed, I won't be able to make the payments. But if I have a new car, maybe he won't recognize me.
Oh, no. I think if you buy a new car, you're going to tick him off.
How did he take it?
Well, he said...
in the behind.
He said his car was fine, but it's not. It has big black scratches on the back. So my other option is breaking into the underground executive parking lot and trying to buff.
So you put big scratches on the back of his car. What kind of a car was he driving?
I didn't take the time to notice. It's big, shiny, new silver, and apparently he drove the same little rusty hatchback all through his vice presidency, and so finally, now that he's president, he bought a big, new, expensive car.
I would guess
how old a guy did he look to be, like in his 50s?
Oh, 40s.
Yeah, so he's driving a 740 IL.
I would guess.
Yeah, that's what I guess.
Yeah, black. It's the only color they come in.
Silver.
Silver? It's the only other color they come in. So you're thinking of sneaking into the executive parking lot with a 100-foot extension cord and a lamb's wool buffer.
Yeah. Is that what I use?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I saw, if it's the right color, I just saw on late night TV, just last night, as a matter of fact, there I was awake at 2 a.m., and I see an ad for $19.95, this stuff.
Oh, scratch removal.
That guarantee, and they were showing it. They take a key, and they run it down the side of this million-dollar car.
Rubber key.
And they you see this horrible scratch, and then they take out this magic stuff. I know who it was. It was turtle wax. It only comes, however, in 7 colors.
Does it come in silver?
Yes.
All right, well.
It comes
out.
It's worth a try.
It's worth a try.
No, I think this is a surefire way to get, surefire way,
so to speak,
get terminated.
To get
here's what I would
do.
I would wait for the dust to settle a little bit. How long ago did this happen?
Just a couple weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago.
Was it dark?
No, it was light.
You sure he recognized you?
Oh, yeah.
You,
well, see, then I saw him in the hall later, and he said, oh, hi.
Hi.
Did you clean out your desk yet? Well, here's what I would do.
Did you deliver those pizzas yet? I hope you're out of here in 5 minutes.
It's a goodwill gesture. There are guys, or women, I suppose, who detail cars you know, on a remote basis. They have a little truck where they have all this stuff.
I could give them a detailing gift certificate.
There you go. And they could even come to the executive. So he doesn't even have to be inconvenienced. They can come while he's at work.
My brother finally had a good idea.
They can buff out the scratches. They can clean the carpets. They can do all that stuff. Spiff up the car. Mm-hmm.
This is your opportunity to really make points with this guy.
Oh, yeah. You might get a promotion.
You will get a promotion.
You might get out of the basement.
I mean, I can see a little note that says you really took it like a man, and I'm really I'm happy. But nonetheless, I feel this terrible guilt. And please accept this small $250.
Oh, yeah. Make sure he knows how much it costs. But whatever it costs, Catherine,
gift.
Do it. And I think you should tell him that you're going to do it. I don't think you should do it by surprising him.
Oh, I should tell him ahead of time?
Yeah, I say, look, I'd like to have your car detailed. I have a guy who's worked extensively.
No.
On my 91 Acclaim.
Yeah, so I know he really knows what he's doing.
Right. He'd love to work on your 7 Series BMW. He's never worked on one before. And he'd like to try to buff out a few little scratches, which I don't think I put in your car, but might have been there before I hit you. But nonetheless, I think in order to, ameliorate the situation.
And then I could get my new car, too.
If he says, don't bother, you're fired, then you know not to get the car. Good luck, and call us when you're delivering pizzas.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Bye.
All right. Wow. All right, Tommy, look, it's time for us to take another short break.
What, are we giving thanks again? What, for the new puzzler?
No, we're giving thanks that there is no new puzzler. But lots of old puzzlers I'll explain in a minute.
Great.
When it rains or when it snows, a driver has to take special care.
Rain is a gentle thing, but not when you're driving. Look at the silent snow, but remember to go slow. Fog gently blankets the ground. Turn on your lights and slow down. Stormy and dark, and the temperature drops, the smart driver always stops.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our gas-saving virtual road trip kit, which includes sightseeing photos, fast food lunches, and a CD with a loop of your mother-in-law complaining about your driving from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Tire Rack,
whose tire and wheel specialists offer advice about tires for various vehicles, driving styles, and roads.
TireRack.com. And
the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at GatesFoundation.org. And
Angie's List,
providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed.
More at angieslist.com.
And even though the Bulls in Pamplona turn and charge directly at the nearest radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
One night after playing a gig, musician Amanda Palmer was signing autographs.
And a guy comes up to me and hands me a $10 bill. He says, I'm sorry, I burned your CD from a friend. I just want you to have this money. And this is the moment I decide I'm just going to give away my music for free.
I'm Guy Raz, giving it all away. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Join us for the TED Radio Hour, Saturday afternoons at 2 and Tuesday nights at 10.
Danish multi-instrumentalist Søren Juhl uses synths and electronic soundscapes to create Indians' unconventional pop sounds.
First time I heard Pink Floyd, I realized that music don't have to be commercialized. I like when you have time in music and you can actually let your imagination go with it.
That's Søren Juhl of Indians performing live this week on Sound Opinions.
Join us for Sound Opinions every Friday night at 10 and Sunday night at 7.
The CIA and their military establishment was very much concerned that the communists had found techniques for brainwashing.
Does anybody want to go home? No!
On the next Radiolab, one man's attempt to safeguard national security backfires. I'm Jad Abumrad. Join us for the next Radiolab.
Join us for Radiolab every Sunday night at 8 and Wednesday night at 10.
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used the puzzler.
You're in the used puzzler business now.
Yes. Good. Both of you longtime listeners know, Mom and Dad, every summer the puzzler goes on a well-deserved vacation. Oh. This is a chance to get refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated, and, you know, the whole bit.
And
suntanned.
A little bit. Less lousy.
Yeah. Right. But we know that some of you just can't go a week without a Car Talk puzzler. So for you, we've invented
institutionalization.
No.
We're going to lock you up for the next 8 weeks. How many weeks off does the puzzler get? Like 8 weeks?
We don't really know.
We don't know. Just
no. When it comes back, it comes back. It just kind of shows
just
up.
It just shows up. Yeah.
And no, for those of you that really need a puzzle, we have our classic puzzle archive. Every week that the puzzle is on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work and you need a puzzle, you just have to have one, just head to cartalk.com. Now, if you want to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. My name is Doug from New York.
How you doing, Doug?
Okay, good. I got a 94 Land Cruiser.
Good.
Okay, on top of the rocker arm assembly, the valve covers, there's a plate. Mm-hmm. There are two screws on each end of that plate. They're aluminum, and I tried to take one off the other day because I do the work on my, on my car myself, and the head started to strip.
Yeah.
So I got a bigger Phillips screwdriver, and that started to strip, and I figured, before I do anything, let me call Car Talk and see what's going on. How can you guys give me some suggestions?
Let's see. Do you have duct tape?
Do I have duct tape?
Can you get duct tape?
Duct tape.
Well, it may be too late now.
Yeah, that's always the problem if you go too far. But it maybe isn't.
Okay.
There is a very clever tool called an impact screwdriver.
Okay.
And what it is, it's a very hefty screwdriver that has a mechanism inside that allows you to change a hammer blow into rotation of the blade.
Okay.
So you get the thing, you put this thing on the screw just as if you were going to unscrew it.
Right.
But instead of turning the handle, you hold it and you whack the end with a hammer. Okay. And it imparts a very sharp impulse, which, multiplies the force many times.
Right.
And will sometimes crack loose that screw or strip the head right off.
The head right off. Exactly.
So would just do faster what it took you a half an hour to do. Do it in seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe even less than a second.
I tried that with a distributor one time. I cracked my whole distributor.
Well, yeah, you have to be a little judicious with the blow. And it does take a lot of experience to know how hard to hit something.
Right.
And also penetrating oil helps considerably.
Yeah.
What's wrong is that screw is a steel screw screwed into aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever you have that situation, if the screw is not coated,
right,
then you always get that peculiar corrosion that prevents the removal of it.
Right. It kind of locks in there.
Right. At this point, now that you've destroyed, you can try one of these impact drivers.
Okay.
And that may work, even though the Phillips-ness of it is all screwed up.
Yeah, right.
But you should try penetrating oil, try the impact driver, and if neither one of those things work, then you have to drill the thing out.
Yeah.
Try them both together. Put the penetrating oil in there first. Let it sit there for 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Then put the impact screwdriver on it, give it a good whack, and pray.
Good. All right, we'll give it a shot, guys.
Good luck, Doug.
Good luck, Dougie.
Call us next week, and we'll tell you what drill bits to buy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man.
See you later.
I love your show, guys.
Thanks for calling.
Goodbye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elisa calling from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi. Elisa. Is that with one S or two?
That's with one S.
A-L-Y-S-A?
E-L-I-S-A.
Elisa.
Elisa.
Like Für Elisa.
That's
Für
right.
Elisa.
You know, Elisa is my mother's name?
Well, she must be a wonderful woman.
No, she's not. She is the finest woman. The finest.
That money can buy.
Does she spell it the same way?
Well, it's
spelled, we don't know how she spelled it.
Well, I'll tell you, this is... We have relatives that have more than one first name. And now they have documents.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Should I tell the story about Jimmy?
You might as well. I mean, I don't think you should have told it.
I'll leave out any incriminating stuff. But when I was a little kid, we had a family friend whose name was Vincent O. I mean, I won't give his last name because he might have relatives now who still carry guns. His name was Vincent O. And everyone called him Jimmy. And, I mean, I remember dozens of times saying to my dear mother, but I didn't know that Jimmy was a nickname for Vincent.
Yeah, why don't they call him
Why do they
Vinny?
Call him Vinny?
And you'd receive, I remember asking the same question myself, a pat on the head.
And
a boot in the butt.
Anyway, I mean, this went on, and pretty soon, you know, I forgot. I just assumed that, okay, Jimmy is the nickname for Vinny. And a couple of years ago, when my mother had a half a glass of wine and was floating around, I happened to bring this up because it's been bothering me for 50 years. And I got the real story.
All the sordid details.
All the sordid details. Well, the reason that Vinny is called Jimmy is because Vincent O. was not his real name.
Jimmy V.
His real name was Jimmy V. And Jimmy V. had come to Boston
in a flight to avoid prosecution. He was caught in Washington, D.C. in the subway trying to eat a donut.
Trying to eat a donut. And he was trying to elude capture. But Vincent O. was really Jimmy V. and was, in fact, in hiding. It was not a criminal activity. It was actually an interesting story, which I can tell someday when all the characters are dead, including me.
Yeah, I'll be able to tell it. Maybe
is someone on the line, Elisa?
Yeah,
Elisa. In any event, my mother claims that her name is Elisa, but it's not.
What is it?
Elizabeth.
Well, my name's really Elisa.
Okay, well, yeah. She claims it's Elisa, but we've never seen a birth certificate. I don't think she has one.
Jimmy V.
Jimmy V. Wow. Anyway, from Charleston, South Carolina, what's your question, Elisa, now that we've bored you with all this unnecessary storytelling?
Well, I'm not bored. Well, actually, my question is part automotive and part relationship.
Yeah, that's the perfect kind.
Well, I know that you two are not only experienced in the automotive field, but quite the matrimonial geniuses.
Well, I won't claim any matrimonial geniuses. I've only had one matrimonial, but I'll defer to my brother in the matrimonial department. He's had multiple exposures. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the thing is, I have been living with a man for a while now. We are in a committed relationship, although we are not married.
Yeah, we call that what? Living in sin.
Living in sin.
Okay, just want to set the record straight.
Okay, but I like, this is a committed, I like that term, a committed relationship.
Yes.
When you say
committed.
Quite some time, are we talking more than 2 years?
Well, we've been together for more than 2 years. We've been living together about a year and a half now.
Okay.
So, the problem is,
but you share no matrimonial vows, my child.
That's right, and my parents want us to get married.
We're ministers, by the way.
We can do this on the air.
They want us to get married badly enough that they've offered to buy us a new car if we do it.
Oh. Really?
Sure. Do you think that I should do it? That's why I'm calling you, for advice.
Gee, do we think you should hold up your parents?
Wait a minute,
are they doing it because they're embarrassed to tell their friends and neighbors?
Of course.
No, I think that, well, maybe a little bit of that there, you know, from the old school, but I think they just want me to be happy.
But what if they had never made you this offer? Would you and Mr. Wright have, in fact, gotten married, or are you perfectly happy to continue in this, quote, committed relationship?
Well, we probably would have eventually gotten married, but my car's really been acting up a lot lately.
So you don't want your parents to know that we were going to do this anyway, Mom, but as long as you want to come across with a new car, fine.
Well, that's why I'm calling you. I don't know. Is that what I should do?
You want to know if this is ethical.
I mean, this is deception. This is deception pure and simple.
Well, no, I don't think they're deceived. I mean, they don't think that my car's in perfect order. They know that it's not.
They know that you need a car, and they're trying to incentivize.
Yeah, incentivize. That's good.
You.
How old are you now, Elisa?
I'm in my early 30s.
Oh, yeah, take the car, yeah.
I mean, how has your relationship been with your parents, like, of all these years?
Oh, my parents have been wonderful to me. They've always been very loving, giving people.
Loving, giving people. But
and they live in Michigan.
Are they loving? Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's the best part.
What you have to worry about is other people controlling your life. And if you allow other people to control your life, even from a distance, then how different is that from any other kind of criminal activity?
Have they bribed you at any other time in the past?
Well, obviously they have. She said they're very giving people. And it sounds to me like they're giving to control you.
Ooh,
time to let go here.
My therapist has never mentioned that.
No, well, you haven't been going to a good therapist then, have you?
I hope he's not listening right
now.
I
mean, these parents are obviously trying to control your life forever.
Well, no, I think they like to see a little bit more security in my future, I believe. And
how about this one?
Would be that security.
All right, Elisa, it's 2 years down the road, and they say, Elisa, it's very nice that you're driving around in your nice new car, and I hope everything's fine, but isn't it time that you and Mr. Wright had some kids?
And move to Michigan?
And you say, well, what's it worth to you, Mom? Dad?
Are you saying I'm opening a can of worms?
You ain't just kidding. A can of worms?
On the other hand, you may be lining yourself up for a lifetime supply of cars.
I mean, if you're willing to be controlled and manipulated in this way, then for a lousy car, fine.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm being manipulated because, like I said, we'll probably end up getting married eventually anyway.
Oh, but
yeah, I know, but we'll probably end off of ultimately eventually getting married anyway. It's not the same as you'll get married on June 7th when we hand you the title.
Elisa, this is quite an interesting question. So does he know of this deal with the car?
Yes, my mother approached him with it separately.
Oh, she approached him
She told him, and then she told me.
All right. I understand. I understand now.
What a tangled web we weave.
I understand it all now.
Oh, yeah. Have you been married before,
no.
Elisa? Wow.
And this is my first living in sin adventure as
this
well.
Is your first living
it
in
is,
sin.
Huh?
So this is
yeah,
a real,
I don't
this
think
is a very real
it is
thing.
Fun though, isn't it?
I don't think they're so much worried about your living in sin as the prospect of you're not getting married.
They don't want me to be an old maid.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they're afraid that this guy might escape.
They're afraid that he may hang around for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
And then fly the coop, at which point you'll be too old and nobody will want you. And you'll have to move in. You'll have to move in with them.
And you'll be able to get there because you'll have a brand new car. So they basically are trying to put the ring through this guy's nose from Michigan.
Well, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah. Well, do you
they're influencing a little bit, I think.
I mean, do you think that they're really trying to control you? Or him?
Well, then you're just telling me that I shouldn't get married at all.
I think you should dump him.
I think you should get married if you feel like getting married.
Right.
And Mr. Wright wants to get married, too. But, jeez, did you be bribed?
Well, no, I didn't really think of it as a bribe. I thought of it
you
more
didn't
as an
think
incentive.
Of it as a bribe?
But it isn't a bribe for her. He's the one being bribed.
Yeah, it's
well,
clear
no,
to me now.
More important,
he has a car.
Well, I know, but more important than anything, he's going to want to marry you for you.
That's what he says.
And not the car.
That's what he says.
Unless it's a Q45. But if he doesn't love you enough to marry you without any incentives, then you don't want him.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
And tell your parents that they should stay out of it.
Any chance that we could talk to Mr. Wright one of these days?
Yeah, I guess so, if you'd like to.
I mean, I'd like to know how he feels about this.
Well, he doesn't know that I called you.
Well, can he call us next week, maybe?
I don't know if I like the sound of that.
Hey, well, let's get serious. Do you love this guy?
Yes.
Cool.
Very much.
Then that's it. And I presume he loves you too.
Don't know that.
And the 300ZX had nothing to do with it. We'll find out. Tune in next week. What's his name?
Tracy.
For at least an episode of Elisa and Tracy.
Tell him to call us next week.
I will.
We'll talk.
All right, thank you.
We'll chat. We may have to talk to your parents, too.
Uh-oh.
But that'll be the week after. See you later, Lisa.
See you, Lisa. Aren't you happy you called us, huh?
Hi.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blooper. Penelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from his grand slam at the Greater Greensboro Garlic Gherkin and Goat Cheese Gavotte, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our director of allergy research is Teresa Pollinating. Our director of roadway resurfacing is Sylvia Potholy. Our accounts payable administrator is Imelda Checks. Our director of summer visits to the in-laws is Don Juan Go. Our Russian gas station attendant is Philip Entopitov. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropov. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Royal Payne Diaz. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Louis Dewey, known to the patriotic panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember,
yes?
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1327, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, ever thought about trying some do-it-yourself maintenance?
Oh, you mean like spark plugs, oil changes, belt hoses, I mean that kind of thing?
Exactly. We have advice on our website for those of you thinking of giving it a try.
Yeah, but if people do all this stuff for themselves, I mean, won't that be bad for, like, our business?
Do you know how many engine fires were started last year by do-it-yourselfers?
Oh, this would be great for business.
Exactly. Check out our advice for do-it-yourselfers all this week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance. Their mobile app lets customers start their car insurance claims and see photos of their car repairs. Yeah, I know. You'd rather see photos of someone else's car.
It's less depressing.
Esurance, an Allstate company. And
the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. And
the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, towing away your car and selling it to support your NPR station, with your permission, of course.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though crash test dummies bang their heads repeatedly against the dashboard whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.
Jonathan?
Yes, Safira?
Here's a question.
Uh-huh.
On the Van Halen album 5150, Sammy Hagar asks what musical question?
Why can't I drive 55?
Close. Why can't this be love?
Oh, yeah.
Here's another one. On a different note, in the year 2000, what musical question was posed by the Baha Men?
I don't know.
It's who let the dogs out.
Aye.
From the Bell House in Brooklyn, New York, this is NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm your host.